So I have seen opportunities and things that the Holy Spirit does in my life so much more now that I've been studying it and looking at it and talking about it. And I hope that you have too in your lives. I hope that, God has shown you different ways and you've been able to see the Spirit moving and the empowerment that He gives you. So last week, I'm going to read a couple verses. Last week, I started a recap and never finished with my recap to get into the message portion. So this week, I'm going to read verses, and I'm going to tell you points one and two, what we talked about, and I ain't going to go into depth of them at all. So if you want to know about those, go to the last 2 weeks and listen, and you'll get that. But in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, he said this. It says, "So when they had come together, they asked the Lord, 'Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the time or the season that the Father has fixed in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Again, they came to Jesus and they asked him a question. And I've said this before, but it's like us. We usually ask God the wrong questions. We're asking the wrong questions, and so we don't really understand where we're supposed to be going. How many of you know that? How many of you will look at the things that you've been asking God about situations and be like, "Man, I've been asking the wrong questions this whole time," right? Jesus refocuses them and says, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And what we're going to talk about today, the scripture tells us that he's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. How many of you know we need some truth in our life? There's enough misinformation that's out and about right now, and we need to look at and decide and debate whether it's true, whether it's not true. You know, do you take the shot? Do you not take the shot? Do you believe in this or do you believe in that? Or how does it work? And then even when it comes to the church, the different variations and doctrines that come out, you need to look at and be like, "Man, I don't know what to." I mean, because you can look up stuff, and there's all different things about baptism, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, about what the Holy Spirit is in the first place, about the Trinity, about there's so many different things that people believe. How many of you know it's important that we believe the right thing? Again, like I said, I think that I probably will get to heaven, and God will look down and be like, "Tobe, you sure missed those points. You did good on these, but that one, I'm sorry, man. That's not what I meant at all," right? And I'm okay with him doing that, but I'm going to tell you this. I am going to the best of my ability, read this scripture, read this word, and before I allow something to come into my life and to lead and guide my life, I want to make sure that it's from God and that it lines up with the word of God. Amen? My dad, one of my favorite comments of my dad, or one of my favorite disclaimers of my dad, is he said, "Even a cow is smart enough to nuzzle out the briars before it eats." Right? When a cow goes down to eat and it gets a mouthful of stuff, it gets out the bad stuff before it eats the good stuff, right? I mean, you know, we're going to have bad stuff and good stuff put in front of us, like broccoli. We should just sweep it off the plate. Sweep it off, remember? Sweep it off the plate. That's just bad stuff. Just nuzzle it out there. Keep up. Okay, well. That's not in scripture. That's a Toby translation right there. So anyway, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to lead us and guide us and show us the direction that we need to go, right? In Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 and 27, this is one of the main verses that we've read in this whole series, is God speaking, and he says, "And I will give to you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you." Not that the Holy Spirit will come and then go, right? As it did in the Old Testament. He said, in these days, this is what's going to happen. He's going to come and he's going to dwell inside of you. I'm going to put him inside of you. "And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Again, the Holy Spirit will help us, will cause us, will make a change happen in our lives. But how many of you know we still have to follow what the Holy Spirit wants us to do? We still have to be obedient in those things. I don't remember what week it was, but in this section about the working of the Holy Spirit and what he does, the first one was in power, the second one was he brings unity. Today we're going to talk about Galatians, and we're going to start in Galatians. We're going to read chapter 5, verse 6 through 24, and I'm going to read them first all together, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. Galatians 5, 16 through 24. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the work of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there are no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How many of you know that's a whole lot to take in right there? And today I'm gonna go through some things, and we're gonna talk a little bit about stuff, but it's by no means extensive. You need to go back through and read and ask the Holy Spirit to show you some things. We're gonna start in verse 16, and it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Why is it important to walk by the Spirit? Think that thought. Have you ever thought about that before? Like, why is it important that I do this? One of the main reasons why it's important is because that's what allows us to be called sons of God. According to Romans 8:14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So there are a lot of things in the scripture that it says one thing and it doesn't say the alternate side. But if you read the verse, there's an opposite side, right? He says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. I want you to choose life, which means I don't want you to choose death, right? We can see that there, right? But then when we come to scriptures like this, we say, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What does the alternate side of that mean? Those who do not walk by the Spirit are not called the sons of God, right? So why is it so important that we walk by the Spirit? I don't know about you, but I want to be called a son of God. Let me rephrase that. I don't care what anybody calls me except for God. I want him to call me his son. I got people call me all kinds of stuff my whole life, right? Some of it was good, some of it was bad. You know what we need to learn to do? This has nothing to do with this. You know what you need to learn to do when people tell you things about yourself? You need to take what's good. You need to take it inside. You need to weigh it. Say, does it fit me or does it not fit me? And then put it off if it doesn't fit you. If it does fit you and it's not good, what do I need to do to change this thing? But you know what we don't need to do? Get upset, get depressed, get frustrated with ourselves because we're horrible people. We don't need to do that. We need to take it and either wear it and make ourselves better or throw it in the pile to go to Goodwill, right? That's what you do with clothes that's what I do with clothes that don't fit me no more. I put it in a pile, I go give it to somebody else. If it's really bad stuff, I don't. Like, I was given a bag of stuff one time. It had all kind of crazy shirts and stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're not going to give that one out as Victory Church, right? And we just kept going. We just went ahead and threw that one away, right? You could do that too. But what we don't need to do is take on what other people say about us unless it lines up with the scripture, unless it doesn't line up with our lives. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that judges whether we get to wear it or not. All right? Why is it important? Because I want to be called a sons of God. And then this is the other thing that the Spirit does, the direction. And why is it important that we walk by the Spirit? Because when we walk, how many of you know, when we walk by the Spirit, there's some protection that's there. We're protected. We're with the Spirit. Remember my umbrella theory, right? When I walk with God and then it covers me and I'm covered. But when I decide to step out from his protection, his blessing, his everything, I can do it if I want. I'm a big dog. I can get off the porch. But I don't want to. Porch is comfortable, right? I want to stay in God's presence. I want to stay in his protection. I want to stay in the place that he has for me, because it says that there's many paths, but only one leads to God. And it's difficult and it's narrow, and there's a few people that find it, according to scripture. How many of you know I want to be the one that finds it? I want it to be like a treasure hunt, and I got it, right? How many of you know sometimes you got to go different directions that you don't want to go? Sometimes, and this is kind of a controversial thought, sometimes God leads us to a place that we're tempted by things. God doesn't tempt us, but he leads us to that place. How do I know that? If you look at Matthew 4:1 or Luke 4:1, it says, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." If we're not being tempted, right? If we're not being led to temptation, what did Jesus say in the prayer? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," right? There's sometimes that we're going to be walked into a place that there is going to be trials that are going to come our way, even though we're walking by the Spirit, as Paul and Silas in prison, right? Did the Spirit lead them to this place to speak? If you read the book of Acts and in Romans and in 1 Corinthians, the different places, Paul says, I wanted to go here, but the Spirit led me this way. And then when he got there, what happened? He was in prison, beaten, half to death. He was beaten where they left him alone because they thought he was dead, right? So it wasn't a good place, but the Holy Spirit led him to that place. How many of you know it was important that he was there? Sometimes when we follow the Holy Spirit, we're not going to like where it takes us, but ultimately it's going to bring about the best thing for our lives and for the glory of God, right? And as children of God, as sons of God, we need to be, and I want to do something real quick. So when Paul was writing all these things, there's a lot of translations, a lot of things, and people say sons and daughters, and I don't do that. And this is the reason why. It's not about a gender thing, but in the Old Testament, in this time, sons got the inheritance. Daughters did not. Wives did not. They did not. So when he's saying that we, if you read in the scripture in different places, he says there is no male and female, Jew or Greek, slave or free in Christ. We are all sons of God. Don't get caught on the gender stuff with this part of the scripture, okay? Ultimately, what he is saying, regardless of your gender, right? You do have one, and it is a certain thing, I'm just saying. But regardless of it, right? Regardless of it, you are given everything that God has as a son of his, right? Because in scriptural times, in their culture, daughters didn't get anything. So don't be offended that you're called a son of God, okay? Ladies, please. Going back to where we're at, we're his children. We're his sons. We are able to have everything that he has. He's given it to us. How many know it's important to walk by the Spirit if that's going to happen in your life? Not just so that you have those things, but so that you can accomplish anything that is put in front of you because you have those things. How many know he's given us all the tools and all the things that we need to overcome those things that he's put in our life? The scripture that God won't put on you anything that you can't handle, that's not a thing. Sounds like it, looks like it, but it says, but he'll give you a way of escape. Right? And it's a temptation he's talking about. There's no temptation that overcomes you that you can't. That's one of those scriptures that's kind of, we just, you know what I'm saying? We just use it as it is because it sounds good and it's fun, but it's not really scriptural. So going back into being the sons and having everything that he's given to us and giving us the ability to withstand anything that comes our way as far as temptation goes, we need to understand that we need to walk by the Spirit so we avoid the desires of the flesh. Verse 17 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what Paul does is he describes two forces. Remember the old cartoon, the angel and the demon? I know I say it all the time, but it's a true statement, and they're fighting. Do this. No, don't do that. Do this. This is what you need. No, don't do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all remember it? That goes on inside of us. That is an amazing way to show what happens inside of me. Me wanting to rise up and smack this dude across the top back of the head. And the Holy Spirit being like, no, you need to give him love. You need to forgive him, even in the midst of his stupidity. Right? It doesn't excuse his stupidity. It just allows me to deal with it in a different way. But do you know what? We all have stupidity in our lives. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is talking to other people about not popping you in the head? Right? Think that thought. that's funny. Next time something happens, you're like, I want to pop them in the head. Be like, man, I wonder who's wanting to pop me in the head right now. Wait a minute. Thank you, God, for not letting that happen. Right? There's some things that we just want to do, but it's not right. And it's not going to bring about the glory of God. And it's going to take us away from what God has called us to do and be, which is the church who loves the people that are around us, whether they're his children right now or not. We're supposed to love all men, our neighbors, not just the nice ones who give us stuff, right? We're supposed to like the cranky guy that yells, get off my grass. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to love them too. And do the same for him that we would do for the ones that are like, come on, let's have a party at our house. Right? Those kind of things. He describes the desires fighting each other. Our evil desire that stems from our body, from what we want to do, from our flesh. But it also tells us that the Spirit is inside of us as well, that gives us peace and patience and love and self-control. Now, this is the one of the things that we understand, that the Spirit versus our sinful nature. Now, they are opposing forces, but I'm going to tell you, they are not equal opposing forces. They are not. Our flesh will never be able to outweigh the Spirit. But I will tell you this. It's Aaron, that we were talking about this the other day. I don't remember what the conversation was. It was a guy, he talked about they had two dogs, a good one and a bad one. I'll give them colors. A blue one and a red one, right? They had a blue one and a red one. And one was a good one and one was a bad one. And they would fight each other. But do you know which one would win? The one that they fed. The one that you feed is the one that's going to win. It's going to be healthy. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be ready to go, those things. So thinking that thought in the spiritual, am I feeding my flesh with the things that I'm putting inside my life and in me? Or am I feeding the Spirit so that when those times come and there's a fight going on inside of me, which one's going to win? Which one's going to win? Is my Spirit going to win? Because I've been feeding it. I've been living on the Word of God. I've been praying and putting on the armor to be able to fight and to do what He's called me to do. Or am I sitting on the side being like, oh, well, I just want to, I don't know, do this and this and this. And then hope and pray when the time comes and the battle's there that the Spirit wins. Right? What are we feeding? What are we feeding? We need to understand in Christ we have a victorious new life. Not a better one, like I said earlier, a new life. We shouldn't be surprised at all when we start to experience pushback from our flesh, from the devil, from this world in our lives. Actually, I'm gonna say, this is Toby's translation. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to read into it and just want you to hear something. Actually, we should be worried when we're not being attacked. We should worry when we're not being attacked, not being confronted, not being tried, not being pulled away from anything. Why? Because that means we're in a place we don't need to be, and He's comfortable with it. He's not going to attack us there. He's just going to let you keep on going where you're going. You're messing it up all on your own. I don't need to help, right? But as soon as we start going towards what God wants us to do, what the Spirit is pulling us, we're going to face resistance. There's going to be a battle that comes, a fight that's there. Satan is persistent. He's been at it for centuries. I've just been at it for 45 years. And actually only like, 20 years. If I think about it, I was 25 when I gave my life to Christ and said, I want to do what you want me to do. 20 years, right? The first 25, they don't count. We're just going to do over, right? And start. I'm glad He lets us do that, amen? When we do what the Holy Spirit instructs us to, we can expect the sinful human nature to flare up in opposition. We can expect it to happen. So what do we need to do? We need to plan on it. I know it's going to come. I know there's going to be attack when I start doing what God wants me to do. How can I get past? What are my weaknesses? How is He going to get me to do what I don't want to do? Right? That's what if you look in sports and in different things, that's what they do, right? In war, if you go back and look at battles and different things, the guys who had strategies and did stuff, like where are our strengths at? Where are our weaknesses at? How do we need to reinforce our weaknesses and lean more on strengths? How do we do that? Why would it be any different with our spiritual lives? Why would it be any different for us? When we share our faith with others, it makes us feel foolish, right? That's not the Spirit of God leading us to feel foolish. We do that all by ourselves, right? It's the enemy coming to say, man, I don't want you to do that. I want you to shut up. I don't want you to talk about how good God is. I don't want you to tell them what Jesus has done in your life. I don't even want you to mention His name. Why? Because there's power in His name. There's power in His name. When we serve others, it attacks our motives. Right? Well, why are you doing it? You're just doing that so they'll give you something back. You're just doing that so people will be like, oh, look at you, how good you are. No, I'm doing it to glorify God. Don't stop doing good things because people are going to wonder why you did them. I don't care why you did them. Ultimately, that's rude. That's wrong. I shouldn't say it that way. That was mean. I'm sorry. Just because you can say it doesn't mean you should. Remember that for future other stuff, right? So, but getting into these things, man, ultimately, I don't want praise from people for the things that God allows me to do. Why? Because it says, then I have my reward. Although I'm not doing these things for reward, God is going to reward me in heaven, lay up treasures in heaven where they can't be taken away. I want him to be happy with me. But what happens? We'll start to serve and people will attack our motives and it'll stop us from doing it. We'll take that coat and put it on when we need to throw it with the other ones. Satan uses our nature to thwart the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the cool thing, though, that each time we follow our sinful nature, we will receive reminders from God's word, from the Holy Spirit, or from other friends, believers, who are going to stand next to us and say, hey, that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. So it's just not like one team's trying to tear us down and the other one's just standing back being like, whatever, man, just do what you do. No, the Holy Spirit is fighting just as hard in our lives for us to listen to him, for us to come to him, for us to walk in the ways that he has for us. Do you know the downside to this? And I can't remember the scripture. It just came into my head right now. You know the downside to it? It says that the more we push the Holy Spirit away and don't listen and don't listen and don't listen, the less we can hear it. I can't remember that scripture. This is homework. Look it up. Find it. Yes. There you go. The Holy Spirit's there to lead us and to guide us and to keep us from going the direction that we should not go. This is the thing, the Holy Spirit will give us dependable guidance. We listen to him. We ask for his power to help us to experience the joy and the freedom that comes from letting God rule our lives by walking in the Spirit. Do you know when you walk in the path that God has from you, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, it's going to be better than anything you've ever had before. Right? My life right now, 20 years in, like, it's so much better than it ever was, but it's not about my life being better. It's about me trying to be where God wants me to be. Like, let me say this. I fall down, right? You fall down. How many of you fall down? How many of you need help getting back up? You want people to help you? But like, no, I want to stay down here all by myself, right? Said nobody ever, right? We want people to help us, but in order to do that, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us to the ones that are going to help us. Because not everybody's going to help us. Not everybody's going to keep our confessions that we come and say, hey, I got a problem with this. I need you to help me pray about it. Like, okay, I'm gonna help you pray about it. Let's pray about it. All right, I'll be right back. Hey, do you know what they got? This problem. We should probably pray for it. Here, let's pray for it now that we've been talking about it for a little while, right? Look, if somebody comes to you, man, keep it to yourself. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is give us self-control. We need to do it. We need to follow him, leading and his guidance. Then it says this, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Do you know what I love about that last statement? We can't be like, ha, he ain't talking to me because he didn't get mine. That's why I put things like these. It's like a catch-all, right? It gets all to that. Because, I mean, you know, some things are very evident, and some things are very blatant, and some things people are offended by, and others are not, and people love to stir the pot. People love to stir the pot. Dissensions, divisions, envy, all these things. There's some things that are not very apparent. You're not going to look at it and be like, oh, well, that's a sin. That's the flesh rising up in you, ain't it? Right? That we don't do that. Some of them, we look at them, we're like, oh, they're really drunk. That's drunkenness. That's drunkenness. You're going to hell for sure, right? That's not how the word says it either. So be careful what you say. But thinking this thought, there's some stuff that we accept as okay that is not, that leads us away from the Spirit of God. We need to pay attention to those. This is what he says. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you know where those people fall into? Lord, we did this and we did this and we did this. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. I told you, man, the scariest thing, the scariest verse is knowing that sin is to know to do right and to not do it. And talking about my knowledge and my obedience level. And how I know to do certain things, but I don't do them. What is that? According to scripture, it's sin. To know right and not do it, sin. That could be doing things. That could be not doing things. Remember, sins of commission, sins of omission. They work together. Do you know? Let me give you sins of omission. Like, well, I didn't do it. I'm gonna use Nick as an example because he's on the front row and he's, you know, my friend. I can do it. Me and Nick gossiping about somebody, or no. Me gossiping to Nick about somebody, and Nick not saying, "Hey, that's not right. You shouldn't do that." See, I'm the bad person in that, right? There you go. I'll take Nick. That's what I'm saying. You get it? Me seeing something happen that should not be happening, should not be coming out of the life of someone, and me just saying nothing and letting it go. When I know it's my place to stand up and to be there for my brother or my sister that needs somebody to help them in that time. You know that can be a sin as well. That can be a sin as well. So this is the thing that we have to understand, is that we all have evil desires that we must not ignore. We need to deal with them. That's one of the things that you see Paul doing all throughout the scripture. When there was an issue or a problem, he never ignored it. He dealt with it. Even if you read in 2 Corinthians, he's like, man, look, I know some of y'all are still mad at me. This is Toby translation. Go back and find it. He's like, I know some of y'all are still mad at me from the last trip, right? I know I'm just writing a letter this time because I didn't want to come have another ugly visit, basically. Because I know what I said wasn't accepted very well, right? And that's scripture as well. And when he says, are you mad at me because I tell you the truth? But how many of you know Paul, every time he dealt with somebody, he dealt with them in love. He wasn't a jerk or mean about it, but he did address it. We need to always address the evil desires, the sin that's there. Because this is the thing, desires, evil desires, or fleshly desires unchecked always lead to sin. Always. Always. You know, the desire can come. We talked about this yesterday when we were sitting at the breakfast table. The desires can come, and it's not that the desire came that's the sin. It's the way that I reacted to it and what I did with the desire that came. That's when it becomes sin. Those desires, those temptations, those things can come in my life when I'm walking by the Spirit and He's leading me and guiding me and I'm following Him. When they come, me turning to Him and saying, help me with this, I need help, and walking away from it, I have not committed the sin. The desire that was there is not sin. Me acting upon it is, in a wrong manner. Let me say this. Me acting upon it in a wrong manner is. We need to understand those desires are going to come, man. They're going to be there. Especially the ones that are, like I said, the obvious sins. Sexual immorality, demonic activity, sorcery. Those things, we could see those from a mile away. But the less obvious sins, hostility, jealousy, self-ambition, those are harder to see. Right? So, I'm going to give you, what time is it? Wow. All right. I'm going to give you four things. Y'all ready? The first thing that you need to do, this is steps to deal with our selfish desires. The first step is to admit that you have a selfish desire. Admit it. Admit that it's there. Don't be too proud to acknowledge that desire is a part of your life, is there. Why? Because then you can combat it, right? Oh, it's not a part of me. I don't have an issue with that. You're going to get hit and be like, well, I don't have an issue with it. That's full-blown sin now, right? James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. How many of you ever thought that confessing your sin is going to help you heal from the sin that you had in your life? That's what the scripture says. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You say, well, I'm not very righteous. You can be in Christ. That's the only way we can be. That's why every day we get up and say, God, help me today. God, help me today. God, I messed up yesterday. Help me today. Constantly, constantly. Number two, you have to surrender all your bad tendencies to Christ and ask God to do whatever is necessary to set you free. I mean, you know, there's going to be some steps that are going to have to happen in your life to be free from those desires. And you're going to have to surrender it to God and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I have to have you there. Luke 9, 23 and 24 says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will save it. For my sake, will save it. We need to surrender those desires and say, God, I give them to you. And not pick them back up, put them in our pocket for later, right? We need to give it to him and let him have it. And when it starts to come back, and when it starts to come here, our first thing should be to go to him. First thing, start praying. Honestly, if we do what Paul says and pray without ceasing in every situation, be in a constant prayer to God, communication with him. God, thank you for that. Oh, wow, that's beautiful, God. That is one of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen, God, right? In the morning, when you get up, when you're doing things, throughout the day, when you're talking about stuff. Man, I thanked him yesterday after the fact. No, not yesterday. When was it? Friday. I met Aaron for lunch. I went to this place. They had these tacos. Man, I thank God after I ate them for like a couple hours. God, those were amazing, God. Thank you for those, man. Thank you for showing me those, God. Like, well, that's dumb. Okay, for you. For me, it's not. I do the same thing to my wife. I call her, be like, man, these tacos were amazing, babe. That's not dumb. Why would it be dumb for me to communicate with God about everything? Shouldn't be. Number three, purpose in your heart. Make a decision. The actions, thoughts, passions, capabilities, purpose them all to Christ. Say, everything that I do, I'm going to purpose not to do these things. I'm going to purpose to follow your word as much as I can. You're like, well, that's legalism. No, 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 no. That's me in a relationship saying, I want to do everything to please you in this relationship. I didn't get the relationship because I'm doing these things. My relationship isn't going to end if I don't do these things. God still loves me. Amen? I'm still his son. Amen? But why I purpose in my heart that I do these things. Daniel 1 verse 8, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He said, I am not going to do this. Help me not do this. Again, there's accountability. Nick, I've got this issue in my life. I don't want to do it anymore. Help me not to do this. When I have an issue, when I have a problem, can I call you? Can I talk to you? Can I count on you? To keep it with you and us together, confess my sins one to another that they may be healed. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Purposing in my heart, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me not to fall to this the selfish desire. I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to follow the Spirit in this part of my life, in every part of my life, especially the weaknesses. Number four, we need to serve. We need to serve. Make serving others a top priority. And you know what that'll do? It'll help you to become just like Jesus. What did he do? He served other people. What did he do? He always walked by the Spirit. Think that thought. Walking by the Spirit is going to bring service, acts of service, out of my life to the people that I come around. Because that's what Christ did. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death unto the cross. What do we need to do when we're walking by the Spirit? What's going to come out of our life? The fruit of the Spirit is going to come, but one of the main things that's going to be there is us serving other people, not being served. This is the cool part. Like I said last week or week before or sometime. I had said one day, a long time ago. When I serve Jim and Jim serves me, Jim serves Nick, Nick serves me. When we serve each other, we're all taken care of. But the moment that Jim and I start serving each other and we leave Nick off to the side, we got an issue. Well, Nick has an issue. He's not being taken care of. And so what? Then he has to try and take care of himself. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called to take care of ourselves. Look at your scripture. We're called to take care of others. Take care of others. When we're being led by the Spirit, one of the amazing things that you can see. Now, I'm going to read this verse about the fruit of the Spirit, and then we're going to quit because it's time. You can come on up, Aaron. What's going to happen is this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no such law. Paul tells us, man, that transformed people produce something special with their lives. Paul calls it a new work, right? We're made new, new creation. But the new work of the Spirit is called fruit that comes out of our life. When we walk by the Spirit, there will be fruit. Do you know what? When you walk by the flesh, there will be fruit. And it's obvious to people. When you see people, when you see people doing stuff, you know where it comes from in their heart. That's one of the things that's cool when you put all these things together and you talk about how most of our communication is nonverbal by the actions that we do. That's how we communicate if we really believe what the Word of God says or not, what my life looks like. Well, I have an okay life. Look, I'm just going to be real. He didn't call us to have okay lives. He called us to have a life like Christ. And if we stop judging our lives against what society looks like, if we stop judging our lives by what people in the church look like, if we start judging our lives against what Christ's life is, we'll find that we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things that we need to fix. And we got a lot of times in our lives that we need to be listening to the Spirit. Because what does the Spirit do? It causes us to do the things that we ought to do. It causes us to live by His statutes. It causes us to live a righteous life. Now, we say, well, nobody can live a righteous life. One of the things, do you know how statements have double-edged sword, is like double-edged sword? That's one of those, right? Nobody can live a righteous life. True statement. But that causes us to stop trying a lot of times and to allow some things to come in. And I know I can't live a righteous life, so it's okay that this is here a little bit. Little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? A little bit of stuff. Because what happens is that little bit of stuff ends up being bad. You guys got fruit bowls at the house? We have a fruit bowl. And when the apple starts going a little bit bad, I take it out. Because why? Because it's going to spread to the other ones. It's going to spread to the other ones. You know, the little bit of bad that's in our lives is going to spread to the rest of it eventually. If it's not taken care of. We need to allow the Spirit to lead us and to guide us. I'm going to read one more verse, and then I'm going to leave the rest of them off. John 15, 4 through 5 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit in itself, by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me." Unless we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to produce fruit like we should. We're not going to produce fruit like we should. We need to abide in Him. We need to walk in Him. We need to allow the Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Amen? So, this is your homework for this week, besides going over these notes. I want you to look for the leading of the Spirit in your life, but I also want you to look for the leading of the flesh so that you can stay away from it. I want you to think about what your weaknesses are in areas that you know you're going to be attacked because you'll fall down easy. Right? And then let's pray and ask God to strengthen us. Ask God to put people in our lives so that we can be strengthened. I'll ask God to show us people in our life that we can confess our sins one to another and know that they're going to stay where they're at. Let me think this thought. This can be kind of weird because it just can. If people aren't coming to you and helping you with things, maybe you should ask, why would people not come to me? What do I have in my life that would hinder people from coming to me? Now, don't get consumed by it, because we end up being like, well, what did this person think? Or they think this about me. Don't go down that rabbit trail. But think, what do I have in my life that might keep people from coming and sharing things with me that I can encourage and help build them up? Because ultimately, that's what we're supposed to do as a church. Amen? Yeah. So in thinking that thought, try the coat on, see if it fits. And then maybe take it to the tailor. Let him fix it a little bit, right? If you need it. And if you don't, just get rid of it, man. Get rid of it. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Today, man, you've had a rough time. You've been led by the flesh more than by the Spirit in your life on some things, on some issues, on some trials, just with your life. And you want God to open your eyes. One of my favorite stories is in the Scripture when there's a battle going on, and he's like, man, we're about to get slaughtered. And the prophet says, God opened his eyes, and his eyes were opened, and there was an army of angels surrounding them. If we could just open our eyes to God and what he's doing in our life, we wouldn't have fear like we do. We wouldn't have hesitation like we do. We would understand and know that he is in control and taking care of us. You got some areas that you need the Spirit to lead you and guide you in. You want God to show you the ways that you're weak and you need some help in. You want God to send you some people to help you. That's you. I want you to just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. Dear Heavenly Father, as our hands are raised, I got both of mine. I ask that you would help me see my issues, my weaknesses, my trouble areas. And when I see them, help me not get discouraged or frustrated or angered by them. Depressed because I have them. But let me see that you sent your Son so that I didn't have to be in bondage by those, and that freedom can come, and that your Holy Spirit is there to help me, to strengthen me. And I ask that in the areas and in the ways that I've pushed the Holy Spirit away in my life and not listened, so it's been harder for me to hear those things, I ask that you restore my hearing. You would allow me to walk closely with the Spirit in my life, in our lives. And let me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. If you prayed that, man, I want you to do something for me. There's a communication card that's online, lakevictory.com. And you can go on there, and there's the communication connection card, like what we do. I want you to go on there this week sometime, and I want you to type it in and say, hey, God, you don't even have to tell me what it was. You don't have to tell me what it was. God showed me this week. If you want me to be praying about it, because it's going to come to my email, I think it goes to Aaron's email, lakevictory.com. Yes. Who else? So I have clear. And the elders.
That's it.
That's the only ones that will see those things, right? This email. That's if they haven't forgotten their login password and know how to get into it.
His
right?
Email is toby@lakevictory.com.
Yeah, if you want to go straight to me, toby@lakevictory.com. That's an easy way to do it, too. Stop laughing at me. So, toby@lakevictory.com.
His cell phone number is
572. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, you call the church number, it'll come to my phone. It comes straight to my phone. So, if you want to get a hold of me, that's the way to do it. Call. That's why we're supposed to be here. Amen? To stand and to be a... send it and say, hey, listen, I need prayer about this, or God showed me this, or God showed me some stuff. I want you to help pray about it with me. Right? And guess what? It's going to happen. We're going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. You send it to the one online, the elders, they get it, they see it, we see it. We're going to pray about it. We're not going to go and say, hey, guess what? So-and-so got this issue. Let's pray about it. No. We're going to keep it to ourselves. We're going to pray about it. I ain't even going to talk to them about it. They're not going to talk to me about it. We're going to pray about it individually, right? And this is what's going to happen. Healing comes according to Scripture, right? I need some healing in my life. I don't know about y'all. I need to see God move in my life more than he ever has. Yeah. That's not saying he's not moving. That's not saying he's not a part of me. That's not saying I'm a horrible person. That's just saying I need more of him. I need more of him. Let's sing.